Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, June 24th, 2013, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
Oh, are you the doctor now?
Yeah, actually, for nearly 35 years. Author, activist, and performer Renee Glover and her alter ego, Miss Knickers, are back again today for part two of her appearance on this, The Erotic Mind Show. But wait, you didn't miss part one of our chat, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 380, and presto! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search.
I am not a Dr. Charles, but my wife has two topics of conversation. One is the royal family, the other is her bowels.
Fascinating as that is, this is not one of those question and answer podcasts. But if you remember from last week, Renee read a sweet little selection from one of her stories that involved kissing. This week, she promises something decidedly more dark and edgy. Hold on to your hats, folks, because I hear tell Renee can get really twisted when she puts her mind to it. Now, you'll find everything you need to know about Renee on her site, friskyenterprises.weebly.com. Of course, she's also on Facebook, and she has a hot little Twitter feed, too. Be sure to look for all these links in today's podcast posting.
We've got something to tell you. We've got a pig in the house.
Well, that's going to be fun. Today's podcast is brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish wear and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll surely enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yes, sirree, sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those naughty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Welcome back, Renee, and thank you for joining us for round two of your Erotic Mind podcast with me here at Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. We got to talking last week about a whole bunch of stuff, particularly the things that you do to promote your erotic mission, and I'm grateful for all of that information. I want to talk a little bit about your performances to start off today. Do you sense that you are on the cutting edge of a new wave of packaging erotica?
I would love to think that I am. Look, I really hope so. One of the main reasons I started doing the erotica as a performance, as I was sort of mentioning last week, that you know, erotica is, it's a difficult game with writing because there's a lot out there, and it's really difficult to get published. And rather than, I didn't really want to jump on that boat of, I didn't really want to self-publish,
right.
And I didn't really want to go through the trauma of dealing with, you know, major publishers,
yes.
and you know, getting rejected and going through the whole thing. Because, you know, you, no matter how good you are, you know, you get rejected.
Ego deflating.
Yeah.
I know it distinctly, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. It was kind of more important to me to just start getting it out there. So I thought, well, what if I start reading to people? Because I love reading out loud.
I love it.
Reading to people. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I love doing it. And I know that people love being read to, and a lot of people are lazy and don't like reading. So I sort of thought, well, if I just, found a way to be able to package and sell myself as like an adult storyteller, that could be a way to get my erotica out there. Right. So Miss Knickers was born, and...
Yay!
Yeah, she basically just gets around in her underwear reading filth that she's written, or that I've written on her behalf.
So is there a typical performance, and could you walk us through?
Absolutely, there is absolutely not a typical performance. I actually, Miss Knickers evolved. I have some friends that are swingers and would hold swing parties and stuff like that. And they sort of invited me along and said, oh, you know, you should come and read some of your stuff at one of our parties.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. And sort of thought, oh, yeah, that would be, you know, it would just be a nice warm-up, you know, when people are sort of getting there and people are, you know, it's something that...
Because even swingers need to get warmed up.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, that kind of idea that everybody just sort of walks in, takes their clothes on and starts fucking is, like, it's an absolute myth. So, yeah, the first few gigs I did were just that, sort of for friends. And then, you know, the friends of theirs who were at the party would sort of say, well, we're having one in a month. Would you like to come and do it at mine? And that was when I was sort of thought, well, yeah, but pay me. And from that, I started getting, well, I started sort of promoting myself a bit more when I realized that there was actually a bit of a market for it. And I got in with a group called Melbourne Swingers, who run a lot of BDSM events and kink nights at different clubs and venues and stuff like that around. So I started getting some work with them and doing readings for them, and it just sort of evolved from there. I love doing the private parties because I like the intimacy of the private parties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like being able to sort of look at people while, you know, you're telling the story, and also being able to see how my reading affects people, whereas at a bigger event, obviously you're on a stage and it's lit and I can't see, you know, I can't see my audience.
Them touching themselves impurely.
Some of that goes on, I must admit. It never gets out of hand.
So to speak, as it were. See, who you are, you wordsmith, you.
Yeah, so the performance has just evolved, but I've done, like, since then, I've done art exhibition openings, I've done book launches.
Oh, great.
What else? Just lots of really interesting little things that come up.
Nice. So let's talk a little bit about what brings you to the Emerald City. You will be here shortly doing a workshop at the Center for Sex Positive Culture.
Yes.
Why don't you give us all the gory details?
Well, this is something different for me. I haven't run this course before. This is something that they actually asked if I'd be interested in doing. I initially contacted them to see if they wanted me to do some writing workshops, and they'd sort of had enough writing on the agenda and sort of said, well, look, could you possibly do a workshop on, you know, how to talk dirty?
Oh, how grand.
Which I thought, yeah, I could absolutely do it. So yeah, I'm doing a dirty talk workshop there. So,
and what is the dates of that?
That will be on the 27th of June, Thursday the 27th of June.
Very cool.
And starting at 7:30, I believe. And that's a couple of hours. Yeah, so that will be heaps of fun. And I like the fact that we can sort of get away from, you know, having pens in hand and paper, because I've got some very exciting little exercises that we can do, and there might be some blindfolding.
Oh, no, not that.
Yes. Well, I think so.
Oh no, don't so, stop.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how that goes and exploring some of the different things I can do with people in order to sort of motivate them or encourage them or give them the confidence to say some dirty shit out loud. Or, you know, they can whisper it if they need to. Like, whispering sexy.
That's right. It is.
Yeah, and it's just trying to find a place of comfort for everybody. You know, I get that a lot of people that will probably come to a... I'm assuming that people that would come to a Dirty Talk workshop would have a certain level of confidence.
Right.
To even put themselves out there to attend. Finding, you know, some sort of common space where everybody's feeling, you know, that they have at least some, primarily setting up a safe space where people just don't feel judged at all. I mean, that's what I feel like my job really is, and I think that I'm really good at that. I think that's why I sort of am very successful with the workshops. I'm quite shameless, you know, like
I love it because there's way too much shame in the world, if you ask me,
lest I be judged.
Yes.
And if people wanted to judge me, god, they could go nuts. So I really try and avoid all that sort of thing, and I just think, you know, my personality is very open and people respond to that and generally sort of open themselves up a little bit more as well. So hopefully I can sort of let people... what I would like to share with people as far as that workshop goes is that they've got all this stuff inside them. They just have to let it out.
Right.
And so if I can facilitate, you know, just this one night where they're able to do that, I'm hoping that it's something that they can take with them, you know, into some actual encounters and feel okay with. You know, if they've had the place to be able to sort of practice on some people and not be judged, except by the reaction of the person that they're sort of like whispering to, kind of, you know, squirming a bit or something.
It sounds like great fun. And
if nothing else, I will guarantee it will be fun and we will have a laugh. If nothing else gets accomplished, we'll have a ball.
Right.
Yeah.
So before we get to discussing erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about something really interesting. Let's talk about you.
Oh.
You go by the moniker Miss Knickers.
I do sometimes.
And, and you say about that, Miss... the prefix meaning ill, wrong, incorrect, to negate. Knickers is the sexy alternative to the norm. Mix them together and you have the lady herself. A wrong, incorrect, yet sexy alternative to the norm. Yep, that'll do. I love it, I love it, I love it.
That will do. That's cool.
So can you give us a brief bio? Tell us lots of interesting things about yourself, where you were born and raised and schooled, and do you like muscle magazines and gladiator movies, and do you have a husband, a partner, a pet, that sort of stuff?
I'm Australian. I was born in Melbourne.
You don't say.
I love my city. I adore it. I grew up... I lost my mother when I was young, so I grew up with my grandparents, so there was sort of this really odd generation gap thing going on, and my grandmother was extremely strict. I wasn't allowed to do anything, so I had to learn quite young that if I wanted a life, I had to sort of make it myself. So I was sneaking out of my window at, you know, 13, 14, and, you know, catching taxis to parties and doing all sorts of, you know, bad things that, you know, well, they weren't even, I wasn't even doing bad things. I was just kind of having the life of a, you know, normal teenager. I was doing stuff that all my friends were kind of allowed to do, but I wasn't allowed to do them. So I had to sneak off and do them. So And I had quite a, I don't know quite the right word. I guess I was given a lot of stuff. You know, I went to private school. I had horses. It was a very, you know, like my grandparents were quite well off. So as far as sort of stuff went, mm-hmm. You know, I did pretty well, but there wasn't a lot of support. I was very rebellious against the only female role model I had in my life. So I had to work out a lot on my own about what it was to be a woman and what aspects of femininity I wanted to take on, because the female that I was kind of presented, I didn't like.
Yes.
And I feel like that shaped me a lot into the person that I am now. I was very,
because
very...
Because you had to do it mostly on your own?
Yeah, I did. And I feel like, you know, to a large degree, I was sort of doing stuff on my own from the time I was very little and I lost my mother. You know, she was very young and nobody... I was talking to a friend about this last night, actually. Nobody coped. It was a shock when she died and no one coped well with it. Mm. So it was... my brother and myself were basically left kind of, you know, yeah, work all this shit out by ourselves. Which, in retrospect, I feel is a real blessing. Like,
yes.
Pretty much really happy with the person that I am, and I'm pretty happy with the way that I've turned out. And if I hadn't have had the opportunity to rebel so hard, I would never have, I just would never have had the experiences that I've had. And I'm kind of privileged that I've been able to experience the things I have, because I am a risk taker and I do, you know, some silly things. And I think a lot of that is just from the fact that I grew up having to take risks, right, if I wanted to do stuff. You know, I had no choice. If I wanted to go to a party, I had to take the risk of being grounded for a month if I got caught. Right. So it's just a natural thing to me to kind of just jump into things without too much thinking. I have a pretty good gut instinct, and I like to think that... yeah, my instinct has served me pretty well, so...
Good. So let's talk a little bit about your writing. When did you start writing? Did you write as a kid?
I've always written, and again, I think that's just sort of, you know, something because I didn't have people to talk to and I didn't have much support and stuff like that. It was just another thing I did for myself to survive. It's kind of a survival instinct sort of thing.
So when did the erotic stuff begin to come out, so to speak?
I was thinking about that not too long ago, and I've always been that way inclined. I was thinking about things I was writing maybe 20 or so years ago, and there's sort of a semi-erotic element to a lot of that anyway, because I write very... I'm an extremely sensual and sort of tactile person anyway, so a lot of my writing, whether it's erotic or not, is extremely sensual.
Right.
And very, very visual. I'm a scriptwriter, sort of by trade. Before I started doing the erotic, I was writing comedy scripts for
fiction.
And it's a very sort of blunt, very visual orientated way of writing, and it just suits my style, I guess. But started seriously writing the erotica. I was actually pregnant with my second child.
hormones, yay!
Yeah, I kind of put it down to hormones at the time. I was just writing like filthy stuff to the father of my children, basically. And so that sort of all started. But the main thing was sex chat. I did a lot of cyber sex after I separated from my long-term partner that I have my children with. I started cyber sexing quite a lot. And not only did, you know, like, it's just like, yes, it got me off, but I was fucking good at it as well. I sort of thought, well, you know, when I get people responding to the way I, you know, like even just a sentence that I'd write, and you know, it would get, you know, well, you know, yeah, it would get a physical response from the person on the other side of the screen, I kind of figured that I must be doing something right. So I started sort of taking it a lot more seriously, and thinking about it more rather than it just being a sort of instant responsive thing. I started trying to actually make stories and find a way of, I mean, I would really love to do sort of some really filthy erotica that's also sort of like high literature. That would be like my ultimate goal. I don't even know if that's actually possible. I don't know if the two are mutually exclusive. I guess I'll find out at some point in time. But I'd like to think that, yeah, you can write sort of, you know, high art literature that is quite filthy.
Right. Speaking of which, you promised last week that you would read something darker than you did last week. Any chance you could do that now?
Yeah, I can absolutely.
Excellent.
Do that. This is an excerpt. Well, my little mission that I was just discussing, my high art, filthy erotica. This is an excerpt from one of the chapters of that, which is, and this little kind of half finished novel is probably. I don't think I'm a novelist. I think I might be a short story writer. I think every writer likes to think they've got a novel in them, but I'm not sure about that. So anyway, this is an excerpt from, I think, what would be maybe the fourth or fifth chapter. And the chapter's called The Beauty of Betrayal. You slap my ass hard, send me slamming forward and up into the door. And is the greater pain the searing sting on my buttock or the bend in my wrist as it takes my weight, softening the connection between my head and the door? I'm not sure that I cared, but I tensed up and growled nonetheless. Growled low and loud, guttural and deep and strong with great force. Growled from my guts. Growled till I scratched up my throat and ran out of breath. I growled both a warning and an invitation. And you just laugh and slap me again. Missed me, Cersei, you say. And I melt against the door, fingers splayed, lower arms resting on the panelling, elbows bent, head turned, cheek and breast pressed against the wood. I would know that voice anywhere, have been hearing it for what could be centuries. And it sings through me, vibrates me till I tingle, and immediately dominates my mind because it's yours. And I am only human after all. I nod as hackles rise in my guts. I missed you. You kick my feet apart, spread my legs with a push and a shove and ram your hand between my legs. I find myself moving on it immediately, and apparently I'm already wet because I slide over your knuckles with ease, my clit pulsing and swelling every time I grind over you. I close my eyes and moan, and I taste the smell of varnish, feel smooth coolness on my tongue as I lick at the door. Till you pull my head back by my hair, pull so hard I cry out and slap at your hand, grab you and dig my nails into your skin, scratching down. And you laugh and pull harder, bending my neck at impossible angles, arching my back till my stomach muscles ache, stretch so far I can almost feel them rip. And they, amongst other things, would pain me for days to come. I mumble through my taut and lengthened throat, try to tell you not to fuck with me. And laughter bubbles from you, foamy and playful, but you release my hair and my head swings forward to knock upon the door. You rub a hand over my ass and trace the raised red hand mark with a finger. You lean over my back and kiss gently at my shoulders, lick up my neck to my ear and whisper, I'm only here to fuck with you, my love. Fuck with you, through you, for you. I groan and I believe you. I take my weight on an elbow and bend my arm back to stroke your face. You nuzzle against me as I relax back into the door, nibbling at me, dragging your teeth up the back of my neck. And they feel sharper than I have known them to, your canines like pointy, scratching spikes. But I tilt my head and allow you access anyway. Your hand moves from my ass up my spine. You masset my hair and plant your hand over mine, pressing it against the door. I hear you unbuckle, unzip. Your breath's hot and slow in my ear, and I turn my head to you, rubbing my lips on your cheek, kissing you lightly and searching for your mouth. And just as my lips find yours, you pull away, a tongue at the air. The change in your pockets clinks as your pants land on the floor. You grasp me by a hip and slide your cock through my slit, and I stiffen and tense. You feel different down there, thicker and bigger perhaps, but you feel destructive. I frown against the wall and the tension causes my pussy to get even tighter. But you push at me and grunt, knee my thighs further apart. I turn my head to look at you, needing to see you, wondering who you are to me, questioning and concerned. It's okay, baby, I'll be nice, says you. And just hearing that makes it kind of okay. Your cock robs over my clit and slides back down to dip just into my hole, the thick head already stretching me. You slide it back out and smear my wetness all over my lips. You dip the tip back in and rest it there. And I wonder why I'm not pushing myself right onto you, unable to resist, because I want you. I'm wet for you, despite your manner. I can't help but be anything but. And ordinarily, you would be inside me before either of us actually knew. But my body resists you. My cunt seems clamped shut. And you mutter a curse at me under your breath. Words spill from you that just aren't yours. They can't be yours. But it's still your voice. And I want to speak up, but I have none. I manage a squeak. You push against me, hissing hard onto my back, and I sting and I burn and I gasp, breaking two fingernails as I claw at the door and yelp. Why am I accepting this? Am I not me? Clearly, our dynamic has changed, and it hits me like your slap. I am goddess to you no more. There is no reverence, no adoration, no respect or care or love. That bond is gone. I'm just a fuckhole. A tremendous and magnificent cock receptacle to fill with your venom. I am like any other mortal orifice, nada. But I hope, I always hope, and I trust. I believe in our bond, I am sure of our path, and I know you are mine. I know it. You've been promised. I grip my teeth and push my torso off the door. My momentum and my acceptance of your shoving and prizing and eager prodding is enough. You break me open. And the pain is all I have to hold as my knees fold. Eyes squeeze shut, jaw drops slack. Something inside me screams, but the tone is ambiguous, as foggy as my mind. Your arms wrap tight around my tummy, your shoulder. You hold a shoulder and lower me to the floor. Your cock deep inside keeps my hips raised. My fingertips slide down the door and another nail tears before my palms plant themselves on the cold, smooth tiles on the floor. And my backside falls as we drop to our knees. You can have me like this. You can. You can have me as you wish. You want to be rough with me? You want to treat me like a dog? Then I will snap and I will bite. I will play the vixen. I will be the bitch. But I will take control. I will do it on my terms. There is no physical pain I won't endure. And if I consent, you cannot force me.
Holy cow. I'm serious. That's over the top. Holy cow.
I hope in a good way.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That is art. That's art.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, I've been doing this for a very long time, you know, this series, and I've listened to lots of stories. Most of them I've truly enjoyed. But a lot of it, I couldn't actually say it was artistic. It was enjoyable and it was, you know, smutty. And then there's art. And I think I can tell the difference. And boy, do I ever love being read to. And it's not because I'm lazy because I don't want to read. It's just because it's lovely. And I learned how to do that, you know, as a kid in primary school when the nuns would read us stories. And, you know, that was that was lovely. And I loved giving myself over to that. And one of the things that I, you know, lament so much is that so few of my favorite erotica authors read their own work, you know, in podcasts or whatever. But, you know, that would be a very enriching thing, it would seem to me.
Yeah, well, that's something that I would love to do, sort of going forward with things. Have some, yeah, have some recordings available on the site or something like that for people to download.
Great.
Yeah.
So, I have tons more questions to ask you, but our time is up again this week, and we didn't get to half of the stuff. But all the stuff that we did get to, I'm really grateful for. So could you give us your website address again, walk us around, tell us what we can find there, where we can buy your stuff?
The website address is Frisky Enterprises, all one word, .weebly.com. And yeah, the website, you can find erotic writing. The excerpt that I just read, the first chapter of that story, that's part of the Circe's writing stories. The first chapter of that is actually up on the blog at the moment. And I'll probably put the next chapter up soon. But there's information there about, you know, my Miss Knickers and the performances, upcoming dates for that, workshops, the different ones that are on offer and some dates when they might be running. There's a blog there which has got a range of things from, you know, we were talking last week about sort of the philosophising on love, but social commentary on dealing with authority figures. and I've also got lots of links to all the wonderful people who've been like really supportive of me taking this trip, and you know, they've helped out with some prizes and giveaways and stuff like that for the performances that I have in Denver and stuff like that. So you know, anybody who's looking for, you know, some other interesting people as well, there's a bit called Frisky Loves, and that could, you know, send you on your way to learning about some other really cool, interesting Australian erotic artists and stuff.
I hope to look through that. Well, darling, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to meeting you when you're here in the Emerald City. And
I cannot wait.
It's wonderful. You'll love it here, I'm sure. So until then, we will be visiting you in cyberspace. Thanks, Renee.
Fantastic. Thanks so much.
Bye now. Delightful show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next time for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom.
It's just that we're in this rather unusual situation where there's a pig in the house.
Again with the pig thing. What's up with that? Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself, or all the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd just better call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Look at my sex toy review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site, and remember, a portion of every sale comes back to us as support for these fine shows. How great is that? Okay, until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.